Welcome to The Uncensored Pharmacist, where we're rewriting the prescription for health, one candid conversation at a time.
Join us as we delve into the holistic world of well-being, covering everything from the latest pharmacy insights to navigating health regulations and championing patient advocacy.
From in-depth discussions with experts to tips on navigating the pharmacy aisle, we're here to enlighten, educate, and engage.
So make sure to amplify your health journey by subscribing for weekly holistic health insights. Tune in, turn up the volume, and let's get started.
I'm Miranda.
And I'm Rachel. And we're the Uncensored Pharmacist. Okay. What is up, everybody? Welcome to... We don't even have a name for this yet, guys. So it's the Rachel Miranda, Miranda Rachel show for right now. But we're so glad to be here with all of you. So how are you, Miranda?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm so good. I'm so excited.
Me too.
We've been talking about this for a little while now. We're finally getting to it. So I'm super psyched. So I guess what we should do is kind of allow you guys to figure out who the heck, why are you listening to this podcast? Who are Miranda and Rachel anyway? We're both doctors of pharmacy, number one. So, Miranda, why did you want to be a pharmacist? What was your why?
So it's actually a really kind of long and drawn out reason. So my dad's a farmer. I grew up on a farm in South Arkansas. And so I knew a lot about science and a lot about bioengineering and that sort of thing, just because I grew up on a farm. And when I went to college, I actually majored in agriculture for a year. And my intent actually was to do agronomy, which is soil, water, and plant science. And it didn't take me very long.
I know that, by the way.
Yeah. It didn't take me very long to realize that the academic side of agriculture was not what real life farming was. And so I had some conflict there, like some internal conflict. And I was like, I want to still do science. And a lot of the same companies that make farm chemicals and that make that have seed and that sort of thing are also pharmaceutical companies. So I knew a lot of reps with pharmaceutical companies like Monsanto and Bayer. The aspirin people also make farm chemicals. And so I knew a lot of them and I started talking to reps. And I know it's crazy, like how we get to where we are. And so when I was a freshman in college, I actually went to a farmers agriculture conference with my dad and met a lot of farm chemical reps and started learning more about the pharmaceutical industry through them. Mm-hmm. So I decided to get a job in a pharmacy in college and it turned into, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go this route in science and biology and chemistry rather than going the agriculture route.
Wow. Oh my God. See, I already learned something new about you. That's incredible. And it's so true, as we'll get into deeper as we go into these episodes, but there's such a tie to the pharmaceutical world, the big, you know, big food, big agriculture.
Big pharma. Yep.
Yeah. They're hand in hand to keep you nice and healthy.
Yeah. So what made you decide to be a pharmacist?
Well, mine's a little, so I went to a state school for the first 2 years with the intention I was doing this program that if I was the top two in the class, I was going to be able to go to med school without having to take the MCATs. And to me, I'm like, one less test. I hate tests. Anxiety. Can anybody say anxiety? Tests like give me the highest level. So I was like, yeah, if I can absolutely get into med school without having to take that test. And unfortunately, I was number three. So I had to make, granted, I had like a three, you know, a high 3.9 average, but some of the girls had 4.0s. So I had to make a decision. And actually, my coach from high school, her husband was kind of involved with a local chain of pharmacies. And she's like, have you ever thought of pharmacy? And I thought, nope, never thought about it. But that kind of, I started researching and looking into it. And, you know, it had a lot of the aspects. I'm like, okay, I go to school for 6 years. I don't have to cut anybody open or do any of that other crazy stuff. So I'm like, this sounds good. Not knowing at all what I was getting myself into. I had no clue what, and pharmacy, nothing. I was just like, yeah, my med school plan that I had in my head didn't work out for a reason. So there I went off to apply to pharmacy school and got in, and the rest is history. So
that's wow. So many people in pharmacy considered med school. I know so many people that considered med school, and I actually know some pharmacists that went to med school and then quit and went to pharmacy school. And I know some pharmacists who went back and went to med school. I think there's kind of that about as many pharmacists who become MDs as there are MDs that or MD students that quit and go to pharmacy. I'm like you, like I wanted to do something in the medical field once I decided that I didn't want to do agricultural research. I wanted to do something in the medical field in the biological sciences, but I didn't want to do anything gross. I did not like the peas, the pee, nope. The poop, or the pus, like not for me. So pharmacists were not doing very much clinical stuff then. So it was very much, even when they were doing clinical stuff, it was more on paper. It was not so much direct patient care. So there wasn't any touching. There's a lot of touching now and a lot of injecting. But yes, we weren't doing that back then.
Yep, so exactly.
That's really interesting. So do you have any regrets about that? Sorry to put you on the spot, but
no, sometimes I wonder why, like I was actually, as I was saying, telling you that story, I sometimes wonder, why didn't I just try out another path to be a doctor? And I think I got in such a headspace about, I'd always heard how hard the MCATs were, that not even realizing, like, to become a licensed pharmacist, you're going to have a lot of testing to do. So sometimes I wonder, yeah, like why I didn't go into that further, but I guess it wasn't the plan, right? I just, no regrets, because I learned so much. And I feel like as pharmacists, we have to learn so much. I mean, they have their specialties and they're amazing, but we have to learn like all the medications. We have to learn like why those medications are used. So there's some areas where I feel like, okay, we know a lot more and we're more accessible to, you know, patients and customers, depending on where you're working. So no, overall, no. I just question like, why didn't I try harder to continue that path to be a doctor? But I
felt you are a doctor.
And now I'm in essence, I am a doctor, but not a medical doctor. So, and sometimes I wonder if that's why sometimes I have a hard time admitting, like telling people I'm a doctor of pharmacy, because I feel maybe that I've not failed, but I didn't live up to my expectation when I first went into college. So tell all of us a little bit about your background. Like when you graduated from pharmacy school, like what have you done since? Because I know you've done a lot, but I don't even think I know everything that you've actually.
My path is not straight. My path is like.
That's success, baby.
So I actually, when I graduated from pharmacy school, I immediately went into retail community pharmacy for a chain. Things were different in the healthcare world back then. They were very different. First of all, you couldn't get insurance if you had any kind of previous diagnosis. Like, so it was important to me to go to work for someone where I was going to have good benefits. So when I got out of pharmacy school, I immediately went to work in retail pharmacy for a chain where I knew I was going to have that security of always having a paycheck. Yes. And always having benefits versus working for an independent or starting my own business or whatever. I was looking for that security. So I went to work for a chain, and within about 10 months of working there, I was really pushed into a management position that I was not ready for. Mm-hmm. And I still see this happening today. I see people graduating from pharmacy school. They're still really getting their feet wet as a practitioner. And then they sort of get shiny object syndrome, and they're like, oh, you can make $8,000 more a year if you will be the manager. They didn't really think about all that comes along with being a manager. So after I'd graduated, I'd been a pharmacist for about 10 months, and I got kind of forced into a management role. I wasn't mature enough at that point in my professional life to realize that I could say no. Mm. And so I got in a situation where I was working 60 hours a week, and I was a high performer. I was really hard on myself. I had set high expectations for myself and my team. I wasn't a bad manager, but I just took on all of the emotions of it. And so after doing that for several years, I decided that I wanted to do something else. So I went, I stepped down from that role. I actually had to leave that position, and I did long-term care for a year. And then I decided after 5 years of practice to go back and do a residency, which is it was very challenging because I hadn't done any kind of IV, critical care, hospital, anything in 5 years, but it was in a hospital setting because that's where most residencies were at the time. So I kind of jumped back in to that full clinical thing and did that. So I did a year-long residency, and then I got a job teaching pharmacy school. I taught pharmacy school and worked in the clinical setting for about 10 years. So that was not really the path that I ever expected, but it was a great experience to be able to do that. And then I left my teaching role about 3 years ago so that I could work part-time PRN and be home with my kids. And I left in the middle of COVID. So I think COVID really changed the work environment for a lot of us. And I think we could probably do like a million episodes just talking about that.
Yeah. Yeah. COVID definitely changed many things. So that's interesting. And definitely, obviously, with kids, you want to have a quality of life. And I can definitely relate to the first part of your career path, because that's exactly what happened to me. I jumped right into retail. And within a year, I think mine was 10 months actually, because I know it was less than a year. I wasn't ready for it, but it was this, well, we know that we've talked because they kind of did this like interview with you early on. Like, do you think you'd ever be interested in management? That did that thinking, oh, it's going to be, you know, 5 years down the line, at least two. And so within a year of being licensed, it's like, oh, this person is leaving. So I probably was the only sucker that wanted to be manager.
It's like they trick you. They almost trick you into like, they make you feel like, oh, you've come so far so fast and we just know you're the right person for the job, but really you need more time. And it's like they trick you.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was almost this feeling like if I didn't take it, like they would pass me by and I may never get this opportunity again. Looking back, I'm like, yeah, I probably would have had that opportunity like six times if I needed it. So, and then I just stayed in retail for 10 years until for me, it was just, I got very disenchanted with some things that were going on. And I could almost, it's almost like I could have a premonition because this was many, many years before COVID, you bringing up COVID and how it changed so much. I had a premonition of where our industry, especially in the retail setting, was headed. And it was not something that I was looking forward to being a part of. So I did retail. And then, you know, I definitely had good people I worked with, good people that came in, you know, and you want to help them. You want to help whomever comes into your pharmacy the best way you know how to. And it's just, it's hard in that setting because you only have so much time, right? You're only one person. You can't fill the script and talk to the customers. So it was a frustrating area of pharmacy. It was well paying. And that's why so many of us, I think, like you said, the money was good. The benefits were good. You see that like after you're getting out of college and you have a lot of debt, right? That's how they get you. It's like, now you have to pay that off. And so we're going to get you into a high paying job. And who doesn't want a six-figure job when they come out of college, right? So it's like, sure, it's good. And that's where I had my experience in college. I was an intern for 3 summers. And I'm in a retail setting. So it was comfortable for me, right? It wasn't like I was going into something that I didn't know anything about. So they suck you in.
So it must have been a big step for you to decide to walk away from a six-figure job.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah, it was. But I think I was just so overcome with I can't do what they want me to do. And I'm very principled in those senses. Like if this is something that doesn't align with me, it doesn't feel good to me, I can't just do it to do it. You know, like they're telling you what to do, just do it. You're making good money. It's just, that's not in my elk. So as much as I'm like, oh my God, six-figure income, like what am I doing? What am I doing? I really believe just like God set me on this course to not go to med school, to go to pharmacy school. He gave me this little nudge to say, this is the time to do it. This is the time to, if you're going to walk away, this is the time. There's never a perfect time, but it was like, okay, thank you for that. Thank you for that.
it took me 2 or 3 or 4 nudges.
Yeah.
Before I finally was like, oh, I'm supposed to do something different. Okay. Like it was, I think that there were signs there for me much sooner that I needed to do something else, but I tried to stick with it. I was very committed to my career and I was very committed to climbing that ladder until I wasn't. And then, and when my kids were in kindergarten and it was the middle of COVID and I was literally on my laptop on Zoom calls with sick kids or in the pickup line at school to pick my kids up from school on a Zoom call, I was like, this is not what I signed up for. I wanted to be able to help people. I wanted to make an impact in the world. I wanted to live my purpose, but suddenly my purpose wasn't what I thought it was. And it probably hadn't been for a long time, but that's when I had that aha moment that I have these two little precious people here. And I chose a career path that they said was good for women and was good for, you know, good for work-life balance. And it wasn't. And maybe there was a time that it could have been, but it wasn't anymore. And so I had to decide what to do. And so I left my full-time job in academics. And now I work part-time PRN in the pharmacy. And I have my online business and I do health coaching and consulting. And that's actually how I met you, was through a friend who also does, who is also an entrepreneur.
Yes, health coaching. Yeah. Another pharmacist that is doing an alternative way of really helping people heal. And yeah, it's a beautiful, so you chose, like you had these young impressionable minds that you're like, I have to be a bigger part of their life. And that's, and you hit something really powerful too, is like for women, we're thinking, oh, this is a great career path. It's empowering. We're making good money. And it's just, yeah, sometimes you can lose like the sight of what's really important in life. So kudos to you.
Well, and I had a friend at the time who was also feeling a lot of the same things that I was feeling. And when I left, she actually reached out to me and she asked me about, you know, my decision. And I asked her, I said, can you live on less? And she's like, what? I'm like, can you live on less? And she's like, well, I would like to have this and I'd like to have this. I mean, you get to that place where you really have to consider what's really important now. And right then and right there, I realized what was important was that I was present with my family and we could live on less. Now, I don't want to live on less.
Yeah.
I still want to do all the things. We want to do all the things. But when you really examine what's really important, what's most important, we could live on less.
Subscribe to our podcast for weekly episodes where we'll bring you unfiltered and unbiased information about all things health, from debunking common myths and misconceptions to sharing insider knowledge on pharmaceuticals and the most innovative nutraceuticals and alternative therapies on the planet. We've got you covered.
And do you think, you know, not to dwell on COVID too much, but do you think that just seeing what was happening during that time, that was the feeling that I got years ago when I decided to leave? Like, I wasn't in alignment with what I was seeing happening. Was there any of that for you? Like, were you experiencing some of that feeling?
I was, but I think it was different from what you experienced. And I will talk about that in another episode.
Yeah.
I was very involved in public health as part of my as part of my academic role. So when you teach in a college, you don't just teach, you also have to do research and you also have to do a certain amount of service. And I was really involved in the public health system. And had been involved in public health for years in disaster preparedness and CPR training and stop the bleed training. I was certified in stop the bleed training. We should do an episode and talk about that. I was certified in all of these things, all this preparedness. And then I realized we were not prepared for anything. We were totally unprepared.
I don't know how that happens.
So I was very disenchanted. I was like, I have been involved in public health and preparedness for all of these years, and we don't have a clue what's going on here. So I was very disenchanted. But again, that was kind of a different perspective than I know what you have. Yeah. I was kind of like, I kind of would like to just take my kids and just hide at home and just wait and see what's going to happen.
Yeah, understandable.
Because I do not trust that anybody knows what they're talking about right now.
And I know, like, we, you know, don't want to go into that because we have another episode specifically for those types of things. But I was just curious. So talking about preparedness, we just wanted to let you get kind of in into like, who are we? Because this is going to be a podcast that we're going to bring to you weekly, because we feel like there's so many topics. We've been talking about this, and we come from different perspectives on some things, and we, you know, align on other things, but we think it's very beneficial for people to hear two sides of a story and two people that can actually have an adult conversation.
Yes.
And still like each other and afterwards. And that's something that we both have talked about through the years, like how we respect each other so much, even if we don't align, you know, if we don't 100% agree, because that's the beauty of like science, right? Science, everyone wants to say like, trust the science. I'm like, yeah, but there's 10 different thoughts on one topic if you listen to different health professionals. So it's very interesting that, you know, to bring two perspectives together on one podcast. And yeah, we look forward to sharing more topics, a lot more topics with you in the coming days and months and weeks and all the things. So before we go, anything else you want to add, Miranda? Any questions? Anything you think our people need to hear from us before we say?
I just think one thing, and yeah, we had talked about this before, like, let's tell them why we decided that we wanted to do a podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. See, this is what you guys are going to get from us, raw and real, unscripted.
I hope you love it, because this is who we are.
Yeah. So we talked about this. I remember you the first time you reached out to me about this, and you're like, I think we need to do a podcast. I'm like, oh my God, though. I know we have things we don't agree on. Like, even that mindset hits you, even though you're like, I can totally have a conversation, and we've had, but we wanted to share with you so many topics. And also too, like, we're both on social media. We both work our health coaching, but we can get very niched down in what we're talking about online. We both talked like, we need a creative zone. Like, this podcast is like our blank slate, and we get to go paint a beautiful picture, right, on each episode. So that's what I see for us. Like, that's why I feel like we started it. How do you feel?
I feel the same. I feel like the more that I am promoting my business online and my audience gets bigger, it just gets more niched down. And there are just so many things that I want to talk about that I miss talking about. And I think that this podcast creates a space and opportunity for us to share those things. And there are things that people need to know. There are mm-hmm. things that people want to know. And I love talking with you. And I feel like we could just talk for hours. And what's great is, like you said, even though right now in the world, things are so divisive, that you and I can completely disagree on something and still walk away and be great friends and have the utmost respect for each other. And I want us to be able to bring that to this podcast and for other people to see that it's okay to have different perspectives. You don't have to hate each other. You can still love each other.
No. And you're going to have people that flock to you, and people will flock to me, and for different reasons. And then there'll be other times where, like, wait, I love both of them. Like, they're both talking my language. So I think that's the beauty of it too. Like, we can hit a lot more people with this podcast, because there's going to be people that maybe screaming obscenities at me one week and loving what you're saying, you know? So that's the beauty of what we're doing here. And I think it's an amazing thing, because we can get so sheltered in our own thinking that we only listen to one perspective. And this is a great way to say, you know what, no matter what, I'm going to hear two perspectives on some topics, and I'm going to enjoy it. And just maybe it makes you go do a little bit of research that you've never done before. You're like, I'm really curious about that thing that Miranda said on that podcast episode. I'd never heard that. And so it really gets people educated. And that's end of the day, that's really what we want. People is empowered, educated, and entertained at the same time.
Yeah. I love that. Empower, educate, and entertain.
Yeah. Yeah. That just funneled its way through. So,
well, I think that's a great place to end this.
I think so. Well, everyone, thank you for being here. Thank you for checking out our first of many episodes. And we look forward to coming at you again very soon. And like I said, we're still naming this little baby. So we're going to come at you with a name and a lot of goodness. So please stay tuned, subscribe, download these podcasts, tell your friends. And we look forward to many great topics ahead of time.
And reach out to us and follow us on our other social media accounts, and let us know what topics you want us to talk about.
Yes. Where can we find you, Miranda?
You can find me everywhere. I'm on TikTok at Dr. Miranda Herring, Instagram at Dr. Miranda Herring, and on Facebook at Dr. Miranda Herring.
Oh, I love it.
I could have just said that all at once.
Yeah. And I'm I'm Dr. Rachel Gregg on TikTok and Instagram, and then you'll just find me Rachel Gregg on Facebook. So those are the places to go.
Facebook doesn't like the doctor. So
yeah, they don't.
So I had to put that in as a nickname. So you can find me as Miranda Herring too.
Awesome. Yay. Well, yeah, find us on social media and catch us here on our podcast. Talk to you guys soon.
Okay. Bye, Rachel. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Subscribe to our newsletter and join our community. We are dedicated to empowering individuals with the most up-to-date information on healthcare, wellness, and patient advocacy.
Plus, as part of our community, you'll have access to exclusive content, expert Q&A sessions, and special promotions.
Ready to take charge of your health? Join the movement for a healthier, more informed you by following us on social media. We're here to give you the raw, uncut truth on healthcare and wellness, and we can't wait to have you join us on our journey. Tune in, subscribe, and let's start revolutionizing the way we think about health together.
See you next week for another episode of The Uncensored Pharmacist. Until then, stay healthy, informed, and uncensored.
I think that was awesome.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.